time to wake up. It's Saturday morning. Find some milk and cereal. Grab a bowl and spoon. No, a bigger spoon. Head to the living room and take a seat on the floor while Joseph and Chris present to you
Saturday Morning Cartoon!
Hello everybody and welcome to Saturday Morning Cartoon Boom! This is a show where we wake up with a Saturday morning sun, plop down in the living room for the big bowl of cereal and watch all your favorite cartoons, both old and new. I'm Joseph.
And I'm Chris.
And this morning, we watched a few Harley Quinn specific episodes of Batman the Animated Series.
Batman the Animated Series!
You might be saying, but why? Because you watched this last week. Well, yeah. Like I said, we only watched Harley Quinn specific episodes because by popular demand, this is what the people wanted.
Yes. So Thomas via email and Harley Sally Gorelis via Instagram. I said it in one take that time.
You did. And I finally understand the name now. So it's Harley for Harley Quinn, Sally for Sally from Nightmare Before Christmas, Gurr from Invader Zim, and Alice from Alice in Wonderland. So
yay!
Harley, Sally, Gurr, Alice.
Alice. Yes. If you happen to see her on Instagram, she draws lots of cool little pictures of like old 80s tunes and 90s tunes and other stuff.
Yeah, check them out.
Yeah, thanks both of you for suggesting these Harley Quinn episodes. They both picked Harley Quinnade. Harley Sally Gorelis also picked a couple other ones. So we're like, yeah, let's just do a little Harley Quinn episode because we love Harley Quinn.
And we hope you do too, because it's going to be all about her.
Yay. If you don't, yay. Boo.
or boo, whatever boo. You think. So Batman the Animated Series aired from 92 to 95. Harley's debut was in season one, episode 23, Joker's Favor, which we did not watch, surprisingly. Right.
Ooh.
It was created and developed by Bob Kane and Bill Finger, Batman originally was, and then Harley Quinn specifically was created by Bruce Timm and Paul Dini. Produced by Warner Brothers Animation, Batman the Animated Series ran for 2 seasons, 85 episodes. Oh, as a correction to last week, and this, you'll understand this correction once I say it. So we were talking about the second season of Batman the Animated Series being renamed to The Adventures of Batman and Robin, and that's true. But this was still using Dick Grayson as Robin, and it was just episodes more specifically focused on he and Batman and Batgirl. What we thought was that the one that brought Tim Drake in was that second season, and that's not the case. So what it actually was an entirely new series that came after the original Batman animated series that was called The New Batman Adventures. And that one was the one where they changed up the art a little bit. Like Joker looked different. He had just black eyes and white pupils. And then right. He didn't have red lips anymore. And the reason I am bringing this up mainly is because one of the episodes that we watched for today's show was actually from that series. However, these all get tied together and mixed up. And a lot of people confuse them like we did, because when the DVDs were released of the animated series, they included The New Batman Adventures as a part of it, as technically as season 4, but it gets all tied together with the Batman animated series. So we're going to keep it tied together for this episode because it's following the same plot lines and storyline and the continuity. So it's pretty much the same thing. This ran on Fox Kids, Cartoon Network, Disney XD, The Hub, and the WB. And we know the synopsis. It's the Dark Knight battles crime in Gotham City with occasional help from Robin and Batgirl. And that has not a lot to do with these episodes we watched today, because it's mainly focused on Harley Quinn, like we said. So, Chris, who are some of the actors who played in the show?
Okay, so the voice of Bruce Wayne and Batman is Kevin Conroy. The voice of Dick Grayson, a.k.a. Robin, is Lauren Lester. The voice of Commissioner James Gordon was Bob Hastings. Detective Harvey Bullock was Robert Costanzo. The Joker was voiced by Mark Hamill, and Harley Quinn voiced by Arlene Sorkin.
Yes.
I'm glad you agree.
I guess what memories do you have of Harley Quinn from when you were a kid?
She always stood out as one of my favorite characters, and I didn't really start reading the comics until later in life, so I didn't realize that she was not an original character, the comics and stuff, because she originated in this show. And I had no idea until like years later. I mean, I literally found out maybe, I don't know, 10 years ago.
Yeah, I definitely remember liking Harley Quinn when I was younger, but I didn't know at the time that she was created specifically for the show, nor how ridiculously popular she would be later in my life. And it's like, at this point, I think she might be at her peak of popularity, or at least within the last few years, it's been that way. With it's just kind of crazy how a character that's created back then could, but I mean, it's with the introduction of all the movies to everyone, right. To the masses, so that now she can be known more across the board as opposed to just people who watch the animated series.
Right. Yeah.
So Arlene Sorkin, she was a former star of the soap opera Days of Our Lives, and she appeared in a dream sequence on that series where she wore a jester costume. She and Paul Dini were friends in college, so he used that scene of her dressed as a jester and kind of her mannerisms and her voice when initially coming up with Harley Quinn. And with Bruce Timm being inspired by a mutual female friend who was in a stormy but nonviolent relationship. So the relationship that she and the Joker have, Bruce Timm kind of had an idea with a couple that he knew being in a similar relationship. And, you know, Paul Dini grabbed from being friends with Arlene Sorkin, who then went on to play the voice of her, like you said.
Like, I could be wrong, but I thought I remember reading somewhere or maybe hearing Paul Dini say at one point, it was, you know, I think it was an interview with Paul Dini and Kevin Smith a long time ago on Kevin's podcast, Batman on Batman, where they were talking about her origins. And I feel like they originally said that she was originally planned that she was just going to be like, you know, just kind of a henchman, just because Joker needed henchmen. And so they came up with this idea and stuff. And then like once they did it, they loved it so much and she became this reoccurring thing.
Yeah, exactly. She was supposed to just be like a walk-on one-time character, because there was a scene where there was a number of police officers who were taken hostage by someone jumping out of a cake, and they thought it was weird for it to be Joker jumping out of the cake. So they're like, well, let's, you know, women are typically the ones who jump out of cakes like that. So let's give the Joker a one-time henchman to do that. Just a throwaway character. But the Joker ended up doing it anyway. But like you said, like jumping out of the cake, but like you said, the idea and the formulation of this character, Harley Quinn, became so popular with the, you know, writers and animators that they were like, well, let's just keep her around. Like, this is a good kind of foil for a Joker to have. So, and it really did add to his character.
Oh yeah. Like tremendously. And I mean, obviously it was all for the best, because that character is now blown up. Now she's a huge deal.
Yeah.
Like, perhaps one of DC's biggest money makers right now.
You keep segueing into exactly what I'm about to say, because
I know
DC Comics co-publisher Jim Lee refers to Harley Quinn as the fourth pillar in their publishing line behind Superman, Batman, and Wonder Woman. That is insane. Yeah. She's a henchman who is behind the, you know, the triad there. And the 2016 relaunch of the comics, the Rebirth comics, hers was one of the best-selling comics of the year.
What's funny too is if you start reading like one of my favorite DC runs, and some people are going to groan and roll their eyes, but one of my favorite runs is Injustice. And, you know, it starts off about everybody, but slowly it morphs into being about Harley Quinn, especially like the whole last couple, like quote unquote seasons of Injustice are very much centered around Harley. And, you know, there's definitely a reason for that, because yeah, she is the commodity, man. She's the cash cow for DC right now. I mean, you know, it's just, she's basically their answer to Marvel's Deadpool.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, how he's become just this big thing because he's wacky. He's not much of a hero. He can kind of walk both sides. And Harley is basically doing the same thing, but she's a female who is like, you know, strong and empowered and kind of breaking free from Joker in the comics and things like that. So there's more of a struggle for her and a little more depth in that way, and which makes her a little bit more relatable, where Deadpool is the wacky, formerly tortured kind of guy. So, I mean, it's no wonder that she's such a big star now.
Yeah. And speaking of breaking away from the Joker, in at least in the New 52 relaunch with by Jimmy Palmiotti and Amanda Connor, she was in a, I mean, they even said like she was in a non-monogamous relationship with Poison Ivy, basically. So yeah, she broke away from the Joker and kind of did her own thing. And she also had a run with Power Girl for a while. Power Girl had amnesia for a little bit. And so like she kind of tricked her into teaming up with her. So it, I don't know. She's kind of all over the place. Her comics are a lot of fun though. So it's not necessarily one of those things like, Harley Quinn again, because so far she's been pretty much a solid kind of a pretty high batting average as far as quality of comics go.
Yeah, definitely.
So let's go ahead and talk about the episodes we watched for today's show. Normally we would have it where it's the first, the highest rated, and the random listener chosen, but these were all listener chosen episodes. And the first one being, like you said, Harley Quinnade, which was season 2, episode 7 of the actual Batman animated series.
Right.
In this one, the Joker steals an atomic bomb and is up to Batman and Robin to find and stop him.
We're seeing the atomic bomb, and it's like, I guess at like an auction with a bunch of thugs.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know how a bunch of just what looks like low-time thugs stole an atomic bomb, but they found a way. I guess those are just laying around in Gotham, you know, who knows?
Yeah, sure.
In typical fashion, Joker shows up and basically takes it. Like, he steals it from the guys that stole it, which is perfect for, like, you know, as far as how Joker functions. And the way he got it, too, is because he scared everyone out by pulling out a bomb himself and throwing it towards the atomic bomb. So everyone's like, oh, my God, we're all going to die. Yeah. They all run, and it ends up being a fake bomb.
Fake to some degree. It's still filled with Joker poison or Joker gas.
Yeah, instead of exploding, it just released a gas and knocked out the one remaining guy.
Something to note also, and this goes for all three episodes, Paul Dini wrote all three of the ones we watched. Yeah,
and so, it'll show.
When it comes to Harley Quinn, that was just kind of like his baby, so I think that specifically he is going to be tied to most of, if not all, episodes that are predominantly Harley Quinn.
You know what? I just thought of something real quick. You know, last week we mentioned that Paul Dini wrote this graphic novel about this traumatic event he went through, and like all the characters from Batman the Animated Series are representing his different like thoughts as far as his mood swings and personality shifts and stuff like that as he recovers. In that graphic novel, once what happens to him happens, Arlene Sorkin is the first person that he calls, which I thought was really interesting. You know, and I guess because like you said, they were friends in college and stuff. But I guess they maintained a very close relationship, because instead of like calling the hospital or something like that, or calling family, he calls her. And I thought that was really cool.
Yeah. So it kind of makes sense on a lot of levels as to why he chose her and kind of based his character off of her. It's hard to say because we haven't seen any alternatives and this was the origin of it, but it seems like this is the only choice. Like, this is the only direction they could have gone with this character for it to be as successful as it has been.
And there have been a few people that have voiced Harley since. I mean, for the Arkham games, it's Tara Strong,
mm-hmm.
who sounds remarkably like Arlene Sorkin
right.
when she does the voice. I mean, you almost can't even tell a difference. It's crazy.
It's not like the Joker where the voice is kind of all over the place. If they're playing Harley Quinn, they always try to make it as close to Arlene Sorkin's as possible, because it's that like Northeastern kind of twang that really gives it that punch.
It's like that Jersey-ish sort of accent. I don't know.
Right.
The one exception is there's a new movie coming out. It's called, I think it's just called Batman and Harley. And in that, she's voiced by one of the women from Big Bang Theory, the blonde woman, I think Bridget, that might be her name.
Okay.
I don't know. I don't watch Big Bang Theory, but she's voicing it. And I heard it, like, I think she's trying to go for it, but it doesn't quite sound, well, it doesn't sound like the normal Harley Quinn, but I will reserve judgment until I see the film.
That kind of goes back to what we were talking about the last episode also, which is like, it's hard to break away from these voices that we're so familiar with.
Yeah. Anyway, though, so back to this. Batman and Robin find out that this bomb's been stolen. I mean, they figure the Joker's got it, but they have no leads on where he is. So they're like, okay, to be able to figure out like where he is hiding this thing, we need someone that can think like him. So they immediately go for Harley. And Harley
happens to be in Arkham Asylum.
Yeah, and I love the introduction here, because she's like hanging upside down. She's blowing bubble gum, and when they show up, she chokes on it, which is great because Harley, as goofy as she is, she's also super clumsy. And like a lot of the trouble she gets in are usually, it's usually caused by herself.
She plays kind of a weird role where she is a villain. She steals things, she hurts people, etc. But she's also so lovable that you're like, oh man, like, I don't think I'd mind if I was, you know, if this was the kind of villain that took from me or whatever.
Right. Yeah.
Hey, there's just something that's just so adorable about her. You just adore her character. But so they get her, they basically hire Harley on, and with the promise of release from Arkham Asylum if she were to agree.
Yeah, I think it's like early release or something. Like, yeah, I don't early know if release. It would be like immediate, but like some time would be taken off her sentence, you know, pretty much like Suicide Squad style.
But the caveat being, like, you cannot, obviously, like, you can't betray us. You have to be like faithful to this mission and help us find the Joker.
And in typical Harley fashion, well, Batman handcuffs her first, which is kind of funny because she thought she was going to be able to, like, you know, have a little freedom. She immediately gets handcuffed, but she immediately picks those handcuffs and they're in the Batmobile and she just starts hitting buttons and like,
yeah, because she wants to listen to the radio.
Yeah, it launches like a parachute or something out the back and they almost crash and stuff. And Batman gets so mad.
Oh, that's the most mad I've seen Batman.
Yeah, he's just straight up yelling at her at that point. Well, I was like, whoa.
Yeah. She just has like a little frowny face on.
They go to like one of their old hideouts so she can basically so she can get her costume because that's what she wants and see her babies, which are the two hyenas that her and Joker keep as pets, which I don't know their names, but I love these hyenas. They're hilarious.
They carry through basically the entire series as well. We see them in multiple episodes, but and even in New Injustice game, they're in that too.
Oh, that's awesome. I didn't know that.
Yeah.
I love the like because they did such a good job of animating the expressions on the hyenas' faces to where if something like weird happens, like Harley says something weird or there's a weird choice, like you'll see the shape of their eyes shift and one of them will just look at the other one real quick, like, what?
Yeah.
Which, and, you know, it gives them that human characteristic to where you can understand, like, what they're thinking. They're like, I don't get it. Which, yeah, I just love how they did that with these two. They're so much fun.
Very expressive, yeah.
They knock Batman over and start chewing on his outfit.
Yeah, so Batman's thinking, like, he's getting betrayed already, but she comes out dressed up, you know, in her regular getup, and calls them off, and they find out then, or Batman finds out that Joker pretty much has cameras on the whole city. Like, you see, like, there's one in the mayor's office, just various places around Gotham City.
Yeah, there's one in the police department, for sure.
Mm-hmm.
I think the judge's chambers also.
Oh, yeah. And so they end up going to this old factory where it was also one of Joker's old hideouts, and it's currently being run by this guy, like this gang leader named Boxy.
Yeah.
And when she, you know, when they come in the front door, like they just see this whole thing going on, like it's basically a mini casino. Just a whole lot of stuff going on, and they spot them in the doorway before Batman has time to react. Harley just hits him in the head from behind and knocks him out.
My first reaction was like, okay, yep, she's betraying him. Like, we should have seen that coming. But it's not quite as cut and dry as that seemed.
Right.
Which is cool, which makes, you know, this just adds more depth to Harley's character, honestly. But
yeah, we see, because Robin's also been contacted and to come to this point, and we see as Batman's waking up, he's tied up to the... like laid out on a poker table or something. We see Robin up in the window. Harley Quinn kind of gives Batman like a wink or something. And then she goes up on stage and starts performing a song.
I love her song.
About like, her relationship with the Joker. Yeah.
Yeah. So she's distracting them, allowing Robin to sneak in and untie Batman. And that's where it dawned on me. I was like, oh man. So the reason she knocked Batman out is because, like, all of these mobsters had their guns trained on him. There was no way out for Batman. You know, that could have killed him. So she knocked him out to make them think that she was bringing them Batman so that they could do what they want to him, and said she was just stalling to give him time for their backup to show up for Robin.
Right.
So it was actually really smart, but it's one of those things that, like, because Harley is who she is, you don't think that she's that smart until she does something like that.
She and Boxy are having a conversation, and she even says, like, oh, like, I know you wouldn't hesitate to shoot us if you thought Batman and I were working together or something like that.
Right.
And he's like, yeah, you're right, I wouldn't. And so it gives kind of credence to her plan and justifies it. And even though it was in not the way that Batman probably would have preferred being knocked out from behind, it ended up working out in his favor.
After they take everybody out, and they're basically on their way to catch Joker. Robin says something to Batman like, you know, what was she before she went bonkers? And Batman's like, a clinical psychiatrist.
And he's like, ah.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. He said, like, that makes sense or something.
Yeah, which is true. I mean, she was. And, you know, it kind of gives some credit to her there is that, like, you can't be stupid and become a psychiatrist. She's just very goofy, but she's actually very intelligent, despite some of the choices she makes and some of the things she does.
Where they end up going with this is Joker has captured the mayor, and Harley's basically like, "Are there's no other way he would have done this, so here's what happened," lays it out, and they go over and they find the Joker. They chain Harley up again to, I think, in the Batmobile.
And it lasts like 2 seconds.
Right, before she like takes off her a fake hand and gets right out of the cuffs again.
See, she's always thinking ahead. That's brilliant.
Yeah.
She knew she was going to get handcuffed again without anyone saying anything. So she put a fake hand on. So
Joker's plan is to take out all of Gotham. The ultimate punchline, I guess, is to just take out the entirety of Gotham with this bomb. Again, we see Harley betray Batman and Robin, but this time I think it's a real betrayal. And so having turned her back on them, the mayor is tied up in the pool, like next to the bomb, and Batman and Robin are left there to disarm it.
Robin smarts up and he's just like, you know, telling Harley to really think about what Joker's plan was, just like, you know, hey, if he was going to do this, like, when was he going to have time to come pick you up from Arkham? And what about, like, your friends, like Ivy?
Poison Ivy,
and,
yeah.
And your pets and stuff like that. And Harley kind of has this realization that he's going to kill everybody. And then Harley kind of realizes, oh, that includes me and our pets and our friends. Not cool.
It was mainly because of the hyenas, though, because of their pets, their babies. Yeah. Joker, at this point, because the bomb has now been disarmed, he's like, well, it's going to go off even if I have to go off with it. And he starts like shooting the nuclear bomb to try to make it explode, since Batman has at this point disarmed it. She shoots her little hook shot at him and hits him in the head and kind of knocks him for a loop. And so he's just firing. He's firing all around. Yeah. Once he crashes to the ground, you know, Harley's over there with that gun, like ready to fire on him. And, you know, Batman, of course, is always just like, no, like think about what you're doing. Like, don't shoot this person.
Right.
Because he's always against guns and death. And so, but she's there and he's just like, oh, you don't have the guts to do it or whatever.
Yeah. He's just egging her on.
Yeah. And so she ends up pulling the trigger, but it was just like it was one of those fake, like, ha-ha.
Yeah, it was like a little flag came out that said bang or something like that.
Yeah, exactly.
But the look on Harley's face, you can tell she thought it was a real gun.
Mm-hmm.
Like, she honest to God was going to kill him. And she pulled it, and then when Joker realized it was fake, she immediately looked scared. She was just like, uh-oh.
Oh, like, what's he going to do?
Yeah, but then Joker starts laughing, and he's like, you're the greatest.
And then
she goes right back to him, yeah.
Yeah, and it's such a weird... I mean, it really defines their relationship, though, on how chaotic it is.
They're so dysfunctional, it's ridiculous.
Yeah. But that was a great episode, though.
Yeah, it really was.
Harlequinade. Second one we watched for today's show was Harley's Holiday, Season 2, Episode 16, also of the original series. And in this one, Harley Quinn is released back into society after being declared sane at Arkham Asylum. A misunderstanding at a clothing store, however, causes a snowball of comedic chaos to build around her.
Oh, that's for sure. Oh my goodness.
Yeah.
This episode kind of reminds me of those movies where I'm trying to think of a good way to say it. Like, one example is Smoke and Aces. Have you ever seen that movie?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Where it's like multiple factions are all after the same thing and get in each other's way and just destroy everything yeah. in the process. That is basically what happens in this episode. And it's glorious.
Right. Destruction and chaos are just kind of following her here.
Right.
This is actually something else to note about this episode is it's a part of the Adventures of Batman and Robin, the yeah. rename of the original series, because we get to see the new intro for it, which is much less grand, you know? It was really kind of lacking.
Cool. It's just kind of a montage with the title and some music.
Yeah, not even like the great original music. It was like portions of it, but it was kind of like dispersed about, I don't know.
Right.
It was weird. But yeah, so this is still Batman the Animated Series, but after it was renamed to The Adventures of Batman and Robin. So still the same animation style and everything.
Which there's a Super Nintendo game of this show that's actually really good.
Yeah.
The Adventures of Batman and Robin. It's a fantastic game. I love it.
Definitely. And so here we've got, you know, we've got Harley Quinn and she's being released. At first we get to see, as she's kind of getting walked out, we get to see Scarecrow getting brought back in. And he's just like,
I love this.
Yeah. This is him unmasked and everything. And he's talking about how this is showing how he belongs in the asylum, because he's talking about how he's the all terrible god of fear or something.
Yeah. And he's then kill everyone.
And then as she walks by him and she's like, Oh, hi, Dr. Crane. And he's just like, good evening, child. And then he goes back on his rant.
Yes. I love that. That was an instance that definitely, I mean, actually made me LOL. Like, I actually laughed out loud watching it.
I did too. That was really funny.
You know, it's kind of funny because you could say, oh, yeah, that made me laugh. But like, you know, these days, like, especially if people are texting, you know, the reaction might be like this and they type LOL.
Yeah.
But this actually makes me laugh.
Yeah, like, this was a real LOL.
There was several times in these episodes that I actually laughed out loud. And I really appreciate that.
Yes, definitely. So Harley's released. The next day she's roller skating through town with her babies, the hyenas. and of course, you know, everybody's really freaking out and she's thinking it's because of the way she's dressed, which is kind of like a short white top and some red shorts or something.
Yeah.
And she's like, oh, this is so out of fashion. Like, you know, she's thinking it's her fault.
Yeah. She's thinking that's why people are staring at her.
Right.
Not because she's roller skating with hyenas, but
yeah,
because her clothes are outdated. So,
right.
So she goes in this department store and she sees Bruce Wayne in there with this girl that I guess he's on a date with, this girl, Victoria.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I don't really remember anything about her, honestly. I don't remember having seen her before, but
I don't know if she was in any other episodes. I think in this one, it's his girlfriend, but I don't know how long that lasts.
Yeah, who knows with Bruce Wayne.
Right.
But runs into her and they kind of like had a little exchange. She's like, don't I know you? And he's like, I don't know. I don't think so. And she like puts his hand over his like face and nose and is looking at his jaw. Yeah. She's like, something familiar about that chin.
I know that chin anywhere. Yeah.
And then she's like, you're Bruce Wayne. And like, you know, of course, everyone's like, oh, gosh, she's going to recognize he's Batman. But
yeah. Yeah.
Which is really funny. I like that.
Yeah. Yeah. Like your boy billionaire, Bruce Wayne.
Right.
Yeah, that was good.
But what's cool here is she finds a dress she really likes. She falls in love with it. She pays for it. And she's so proud of herself for paying for this actual dress, not stealing it. When she goes to leave, she took it off the register before the cashier was able to take the
security tag off.
Yeah, the security tag off. So it beeps or, you know, does the ink splatter thing. But so the security guard's trying to get it back from her, he knows she paid for it. He just wants to get it to take the tag off, but she's freaking out, assuming that they're saying she stole it and she's upset because she's like, I paid for this fair and square. She starts fighting the guy and just everything snowballs from that point for sure.
Yeah. Well, one thing funny that happened right before that, when the whole Bruce Wayne thing was going down and she met his girlfriend, She was like, oh, I recognize you. Like, I was a clown girl holding the gun on you at that charity event.
Oh, yeah. Of course. Or Veronica. Veronica's the girl. Not Victoria.
Yeah.
Veronica's like, what?
Yeah, she's like, obviously not interested in talking to her at all.
Well, she's frightening the security guard, and then she runs and hides in one of the changing rooms. And Bruce Wayne is just like, you know, because he knows that Harley just got out, and he genuinely wants Harley to have a fair shot, because I think he knows that she's not as crazy as she acts. She's just too often easily influenced by Joker, because he plays mind tricks with her. So he's like,
right,
wants her to have a fair shot. He goes in, tries to intervene, you know, trying to be a good Samaritan, like, hey, it's just a misunderstanding. Come out. Let's talk about this. She changes into her Harley Quinn outfit, comes out. She's ready to kick some butt. Runs outside, steals Veronica's car with her still in it, drives away. Yeah.
And that kind of defines a lot of the meat of this episode, is her on the run with Veronica, who happens to be the daughter of like an army general.
Oh, my
and,
gosh.
So you've got, this is where the multiple factions come in. You've got, you know, Batman going after her. You've got the police going after her for...
Oh, yeah. Bullock, because she like sideswipes his car or something.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And he gets so angry, and he's like, not today, clown.
Yeah.
He's going after her.
And then you have, eventually, you have the general after her, after, you know, a while of trying to speak with the mayor and stuff about it. General comes after her in a tank.
And there's even more going after her, too, because, so she needs a place to hide. So she goes back to this, hideout where Boxy is again.
Oh, right.
And Boxy, it's great that we saw these two episodes back to back, because Boxy's like, I didn't forget what you did last time.
And he's, yeah.
You know, she doesn't actually want Veronica, you know, injured or anything like that. And she's just like, we need a place to lay low, blah, blah, blah. He is of the mindset of, oh, no, we're going to ransom this girl, and we're going to do what we can. And, you know, Harley doesn't want to do her any harm. She doesn't want to hurt anybody. She just like is angry and needs to get away. So she sicks the hyenas on Boxy.
Yeah.
And then it gets away again. So then Boxy ends up getting in this truck and starts chasing her too. So she's got like four different factions all going after her at once. Boxy, Bullock, Veronica's dad, Batman and Robin. It's just ridiculous.
It comes to a point where as she and Veronica are talking in the car, she's like, you know what, like, you get me out of this alive and I'll drop all the charges, because she knows after hearing that, you know, she wants her to be released and doesn't want her held for ransom. She realizes that Harley just had a bad day and, you know, like, she doesn't mean any harm. And so they actually start having like a good conversation there. And it's weird because, you know, Veronica is technically a hostage, but they almost start to relate in a way.
Yeah, they start like striking up a friendship pretty quickly, which is interesting. Yeah. Maybe it's Stockholm syndrome. I don't know. But Veronica,
Veronica
kind of feels for her. And I mean, like, I kind of get it, because Harley did protect her from Boxy.
Yeah.
So I think Veronica understood that and knew that Harley making poor choices had good intentions.
This is while they were on the bridge driving out of Gotham. And that's when they encounter her father in a tank. And so that turns them around, which kind of brings us to a point in kind of the center, or Gotham Central or something, the main street, where they meet up with all the factions, and just a huge collision happens where Bullock and Boxy kind of all run into the tank. And then the tank with Veronica's father in it just runs over Veronica's car, presumably with Harley Quinn and Veronica still in it.
Yeah, and that's right when Batman pulls up, and he kind of, he's shocked. He's like, no, and like, you know, he's really obviously upset when it happens.
Yeah.
But then you hear Harley say something, and they look over, and she's standing off to the side holding Veronica in her arms.
Well, like, she was up in the air because she basically hook-shotted out of there.
She's
like, well, that was my good deed for the day. And then she like lets her out escapes to the rooftop.
Batman chases her across the rooftops, and she's trying to fight back. Batman's just trying to calm her down. A few things blow up because, you know, it's Harley. But he ends up getting her and he takes her back to Arkham. And, like, I love the ending of this because it's so sweet. So she goes back to Arkham and the people there are just like, you know what? We know that you had paid for that dress. It was a misunderstanding, but you did make some mistakes. So you got to stay here a little bit longer, but you'll be out again soon.
Yeah. And Batman tells her, you know, I had a bad day too once, referring to his, you know, the day his parents were killed.
Yeah.
And she says, this starts kind of a little exchange where she's like, you know, nice guys like you shouldn't have bad days. And then
he brought her the dress.
Oh yeah. Yeah. He brought her dress back. The one that she had, you know, officially bought.
Yeah.
And so she gives him a small kiss and then she turns around and I guess it just like either she's like, wow, that was good, or I'm just going to go all the way with it while I can. She turns right back around and gives him a huge, like, long kiss.
Yeah. Like, I mean, there's probably some tongue action going on there. Like, she goes for it, man.
Yeah.
And he does not, like, fight her off.
He doesn't pull
either.
Away. Yeah. No. With Robin and Poison Ivy watching, too.
Yeah. And the best part was, like, you know, once she finishes kissing him, she's like, you know, call me sometime. And he says, don't count on it. But he's got the biggest smile on his face.
Yeah.
Like, he loved it, dude.
He's just like, don't press your luck. And then, but he walks off smiling. It's like, oh, you never see Batman smile, really.
Yeah.
So.
I'm like, oh, he has a real soft spot for Harley Quinn. I like
it. Yeah. And that really was a really sweet ending.
Yeah. And then I was just like, oh, I want them to be together.
Now I'm shipping for that.
I know. I'm shipping Batman and Harley Quinn right now. They do have a movie coming out together soon. Animated movie, guys. Don't get too excited. Animated movie.
Yeah.
But Kevin Conroy is voicing Batman for it. So that's
Awesome. Now, if only Tara Strong would voice Harley Quinn. But
yeah,
you know, we'll wait to pass judgment, like you said.
We'll take what we can get. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So the third one we watched for today's show was Mad Love, season 4, episode 21, if you're counting it as part of the animated series. But it's season 2, episode 11, if you're counting it as the new Batman Adventures, which it was officially a part of. And you'll notice the styling is slightly different. I mean, the dialogue and everything's pretty much the same. It's the same voice actors, all of that. But the art style is a little bit different.
Some of the characters, not all of them look that different, but
yeah, Harley Quinn looks pretty much the same. Joker is very different. Batman just kind of has a different suit.
Like his color scheme's different. Yeah.
And so, but this one doesn't really involve, I mean, it involves Batman, but not as much as he's a central character. And this one, it really is the Harley kind of recounting how she became involved with the Joker. So this is also based off of the graphic novel that had been created previously showing Harley's origin by the same name, Mad Love, which was, you know, written by Paul Dini and drawn by Bruce Timm. So
that was her very first comic book appearance, right?
Yes, I believe. Oh, actually, no, that's not true. She was in like these different Batman animated series type comic books before that, at least with some one-offs, but this was her official origin story, was first made as a comic book and then brought into the animation.
Okay, cool.
So this opens with Gordon kind of being trapped by the Joker at the dentist office.
Like when he's walking in, he's just like, I really hate these checkups.
Yeah, yeah.
And we don't know it's Joker right away, but.
No, he's expecting it to just be regular, you know, crappy dentist checkup. And then, you know, Joker comes out.
Harley ends up trapping Batman or something like that.
She says some kind of joke and he's like, I give the punchlines around here. Joker throws a grenade in as he's leaving. And then Batman is able to recover, toss it out the window and just kind of shield Gordon with his cape and everything.
And I love it. Gordon repeats that line. I really hate these checkups.
Yeah.
Which
especially
is great.
This one. Right. Yeah. And, so we go back to the Joker's hideout, giving us kind of an inside look at on the villain side of things where, you know, he's kind of sitting at his desk trying to plan it, trying to figure out what went wrong, like why that didn't work out. And then Harley comes in lingerie, still with her mask and face paint on and everything, but then in like a red lingerie getup.
Yeah.
And she's trying to seduce him, like clearly.
Oh, but yeah. She makes some very obvious sexual references.
He's not having it at all. Like, he's just as focused on how to stop and kill Batman in a grand way, because she suggests, like, you know, why don't you just shoot him? He's noticeably upset by this because, like, it has to stop Batman, like, my greatest foe, it has to be some kind of grand showmanship of my jokes versus his, you know, skills. Right. And I have to win out. Like, it has to be a big, grand thing.
And one of the big schemes that he had been looking at that he threw away was dropping Batman into a piranha tank. But he wanted the piranhas to have a smile on their faces, and he couldn't figure out how to get them to smile.
Right.
So he got upset and threw that one away, which is going to come back later. So Harley's upset because, you know, Harley's trying to get laid, and and her boyfriend wants nothing to do with her. So she's upset. She goes in the other room. She's hanging out with the hyenas, you know, just being sad, you know, being depressed about it, and, you know, kind of wondering why Joker doesn't want to love her and stuff like that. And then we get her flashback to where she first starts working at Arkham as a one of the criminal psychologists. And this is one thing I really liked, because I just replayed Arkham Asylum. There's a conversation that is in Arkham Asylum that's in this episode. So in Arkham Asylum, the game, you know how you can collect different items, like those tape reels, mm-hmm. and you hear like little bits of interviews and stuff like that. So with Harley's, her first couple interviews are her as a worker, and this exact conversation plays out with her in a different character in the game than it is in this show. But it's the same conversation.
So it's just great how this kind of carries over into all media with Harley and her origin.
Yeah, well, I think didn't like Bruce Timm work on the Arkham games? It's either him or Paul Dini. One of them had a hand in the games, but I don't remember which one it was.
Yeah, I'm sure that's true. I'm not sure which one it is, but I believe you.
So that, it makes a lot of sense that we're going to see things like that pop up in those games. But
what the woman ends up telling her is, like, you know, the inmates, they'd eat a novice like you for breakfast. Like, are you sure you know what you're getting yourself into? Because I don't think you do. And she's like, nah, I'll be fine. Like you said, extreme personalities are more exciting, all of that. And so she comes up to the Joker and is trying to, you know, finds him really interesting. When she first, like, walks up to his cell, like, he says something to her, almost flirtatious,
yeah.
And she sort of reacts to it.
Like, I think he noticed the excitement that she had talking to him.
Mm-hmm.
He pegs her very quick, because this is somebody I might be able to manipulate for my own means.
And
he definitely runs with it.
Yeah, because I think he says something like, could you use someone to talk to and tell, like, his secrets to, or something along those lines.
Right, because he's like one of the ones that, like, they've never been able to crack the Joker. And mm-hmm. she starts thinking that he's opening up to her, because, you know, I think it originally starts as, oh, I'm going to be the one to do it, because he's starting to sound like it. And then he starts opening up, or what she thinks is opening up, because he's talking about his abusive relationship with his father. His father used to beat him, and all he wanted to do was to make people laugh. He knows he gets extreme, but it's all about the laughter and stuff like that. And people don't understand that. And, you know, Batman is just like his dad. He beats him up and abuses him and throws him back into Arkham. She starts sympathizing with him, and this starts turning into, like, infatuation. And then he, like, leaves her flowers and stuff like that, like, sends flowers to her office. And this turns into, like, she becomes obsessively in love with the guy.
And, like, she sees him as a lost, injured child trying to make the world laugh with his antics. So
right.
She thinks she has him pegged, when it's the opposite. Like, it's the other way around. But he's so manipulative, like you said, that she kind of falls right into his trap from the beginning and is really stuck there, as we've seen over the episodes we watched.
He escapes at one point.
Yeah, Joker escapes at one point and then is almost immediately brought back by Batman.
And, like, he had the crap beaten out of him. He looks like he's got a broken arm. His face is all bruised. Harleen Quinzel is her real name.
Right.
And she is losing it. She's, like, crying so hard when she sees him and stuff. And another one of the things is that, like, I think Joker also, like, what got his attention really quick, too, is, like, oh, Harleen Quinzel, we could easily make that Harlequin.
Right.
And then once she sees how horribly he's been treated and stuff like that, she decides, I have to help him. So then she takes what he said originally when he called her Harley Quinn, and she runs with that, gets herself a costume, gets all these gadgets to bust him out, and calls herself Harley Quinn.
So this kind of brings us back to that. This was her origin kind of mixed into this episode we were talking about. So it comes back to Harley trying to figure out how to make the Joker happy, how to formulate the perfect plan to capture Batman and defeat Batman. And so she's like, well, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to just trick Batman into coming to me. So she, you know, takes off her costume and everything, and she reaches out to him, says that she can help him get Joker if he promises her protection, because she's saying he's gone off the deep end, like he's crazy, like she realizes that it's not a joke anymore. So she, you know, she needs help. And so Batman, being the person that he is, of course, jumps in to try to save her or try to help her out.
It's so weird seeing her out of costume. You know, she's got like this long flowing blonde hair and bright blue eyes, and like she's drawn very beautifully, but like you never see her out of costume. So it's really interesting seeing her that way, you know, and which is probably what makes Batman feel like she's so sincere, you know, like she's waiting for him on a pier. She's like, you have to help. And he goes. And then so she had rigged something where there was I don't want to say like a robot, but almost like a mannequin-ish kind of thing of the Joker on a boat that starts coming at them on this pier shooting guns. And Batman does something and the head falls off and he's like, oh, the Joker's up to his tricks. And then Harley knocks him out from behind by injecting him with something that puts him to sleep. And basically, yeah, she got him again. And, you know, and this is going to come out. I'll say this for later because it's a line that Batman says to Joker later, but it rings true, especially here. But she's wanting to get rid of Batman to impress the Joker, thinking that I can deliver him to the Joker using one of his plans so he can see that his plans do work. And then one, he'll love me for that. And two, Batman will be gone so he can stop obsessing over Batman and, you know, pay more attention.
Pay attention to her. Right.
Yeah. So she does the piranha thing.
Yeah, he wakes up and he's hung upside down over a piranha tank. And the genius about that is that because he's upside down over the piranha's tank, the Joker had thought like, oh, there's no way to make a piranha smile because of the way their mouths are in a permanent kind of frown. But if he's upside down, then the way that Batman sees it, they're all smiling at him. So it was kind of a brilliant plan that the Joker should have thought of first. She says that like Joker will like love her, be proud of her or something. And Batman starts laughing at her.
Oh,
and
yeah. Definitely.
In such a way where it's such a creepy laugh that she's like, I don't think I've ever seen you laugh before, but I don't think I like it. Or he tells her how, you know, basically what the Joker was telling her, how he was, you know, quote unquote, opening up to her was all just one of the lies that he tells, because he's going through these things like, oh, was it the one where his dad hit him for some reason or another?
Yeah.
And it was different, slightly different than the story that she told, but still rung about the same kind of note. And so he's telling her that Joker has a million of them. Like, you're not unique. Like, he could do this he has done this to other people. He's just a manipulative person. That really, like, hits her hard.
Yeah, she gets really upset. She starts crying, and then she calls the Joker to get him over there. Also because he says something like, well, if you drop me in this tank, there's not going to be anything left of me to prove that you did it. You better get him over here. So Batman knows what he's doing because he knows the Joker, and the Joker is not going to settle for not being the one to kill Batman.
Right.
So the Joker gets there, and when he sees Harley had captured him and was using the Joker's thing, the Joker's idea, instead of being happy about it, he like slaps her across the face super hard and knocks her to the floor. I knew that was their kind of relationship, but just the ferocity that he did when he hit her, like that took me aback to see in this show. I was like, whoa.
Yeah, it feels really dirty. And this is how well written it is, because these are animated characters, and, you know, not only that, but just like crazy outlandish animated characters, but you feel the same way, you almost on the same level you feel when you see someone else in a and an emotionally or physically abusive relationship in real life. You're like, oh, like I want them to not be together because she deserves better than this. And it's like, this is a cartoon, but like it, you're kind of having those same feelings about it. Like you feel really uncomfortable.
Exactly. That's the best way. I was just thinking like it was very uncomfortable to see. You're just, oh, and he doesn't even stop there. He like picks her up and he ends up like throwing her out of a window. And there's several stories up.
And he's just thinking like, oh, you know, she's dead. Like he doesn't care. She, when he came in and he, you know, was seeing what was going on, she explained to him, she's like, you know, the piranhas are smiling now because he's upside down. Part of what set him off is like, if you have to explain the joke, there is no joke. Right. And so that really upsets him, being the very temperamental person that he is.
Yeah.
Joker just lets Batman down and is about to leave. He's just like, well, that's it, I guess. Like, have a nice day, basically. He just leaves him there and is about to walk out of the room. And then he's like, actually, why don't I just... And then it's kind of funny because he's about to do exactly what Harley suggested in the first place, which is just, why don't you just shoot him? And so he holds a gun to his head and is really about to shoot him. And then at this point, I think Batman like headbutts him or something, knocks him down.
One thing Batman says to him that I've really enjoyed, and this goes back to what I was talking about earlier, is, you know, he tells Joker like what a failure he is and how better Harley is than he is. Like, keep saying Harley is actually much more intelligent than she's given credit for. She would have been the one to kill Batman. Mm-hmm. Like, it would have happened. He had no way out, and Joker has not come nearly as close. So, and I like that he used that to get at the Joker.
Right. He knocks Joker into a smokestack at a plant. And then the news comes on and it's like, presuming the Joker is dead, but you know, that remains to be seen. And of course he's not. And we see Harley, who's back in Arkham Asylum, and she's like kind of talking to herself, like, you know, no more obsession, no more craziness, no more jokes, no more Joker. He's a murderous, reprehensible, irredeemable. And then like she looks over and sees one of those flowers that he sends her
from with Mr. J, or
from
put in,
just signs J. And, and then she's like, murderous, reprehensible, irreedemable, angel.
And yeah, then it's and like, she's in love again.
It all starts over again. Yeah.
Like, dang it. one thing that surprised me about this episode is there's definitely some blood in this episode.
Oh, yeah. Which, that's true.
Like, I don't think I noticed in any other episodes that we've watched of this show. But yeah, everyone was bleeding. Harley, Batman, Joker, they were all bleeding.
So I wonder if that was just part of the new Batman Adventures, like, since it was a different series, like, it got a little bit more graphic in a way.
Definitely. I was very surprised.
Actually, I was too, and I was going to mention that, so I'm glad you did. Well, Chris, looks like it's about time we dress our inner kids up as Harley at the next Comic-Con, and, assuming we don't lose them in the sea of other people dressed up as her, see what they thought of the Harley Quinn-centric episodes of Batman the Animated Series.
I learned a lot from this show, which is that Batman is actually kind of a bully. Also, you can't hit girls unless you're a clown. And Harley is gonna be my new girlfriend. So I gave these episodes 5 bowls of baby hyena cereal out of 5.
As part of a series I already 100% love, it's hard for me to say anything negative about Harley Quinn. But if I had to, it would be that, much like Deadpool, she's become a victim of her own popularity and may have reached a point of oversaturation. That said, she was elevated to this status for a reason. Harley Quinn is a very lovable character with a unique appearance, comical lines, and a quirky attitude, even adding more depth to the already complex Joker. For someone originally created to be a one-off throwaway, the fact that she's only gotten even more popular since her introduction in the 90s is a testament enough to how great of a character she is. I'd give the Harley Quinn episodes of Batman the Animated Series 5 big bowls of Puddin' Pops cereal out of 5, and think that even if you're going tired of the character, you should at least continue to appreciate her roots. And on that note, if I was promised a beautiful accomplice like Harley Quinn, I'd change my last name to Kerr in a heartbeat. Get it? Because my first name is Joe. Joe. Kerr. Ba-dum-ching.
Oh, that is a horrible joke. Yeah, I hope now that you've aged a little bit that you're better at telling jokes.
That's like a dad joke, but that coming from a kid.
Yeah.
Come on.
That was, you know, you could write for Laffy Taffy. I mean.
Easily. Joker would have knocked me out of a window too.
Oh yeah, he would have. I'm going to. So do you have any final thoughts on these episodes?
It was good to see not only her origin again, but also more of what made the character so fantastic. And it's something you forget being so flooded with all of her images and things in the media now. But it was such a simple idea that turned into something really amazing. That just goes to show that Paul Dini's writing combined with Bruce Timm's art style is something that's just really a force to be reckoned with. If you don't know about the character, I'd be surprised, but go back to her origins. Don't just base it on the Suicide Squad movie or anything like that. Like, go back, watch the Batman animated series cartoons, the episodes about her. I really think your appreciation of her will grow even more than it already is.
Yeah, I completely agree. Harley Quinn is such an amazing character, and it's so surprising to me that with all of the amazing villains that Batman already had, that this completely new one that just came out of this TV show and is now more arguably one of the most popular comic book characters of all time, that she made this leap. Like, it's so hard for me to believe it, but I mean, it's there. Aside from her antics and the fact that she is a complete badass, there's also an important issue that always surrounds her with the controversy due to the fact that her and the Joker are in such an abusive, like horribly abusive relationship. And one of the problems that comes out of it, and you see it a lot in social media and stuff like that, especially for, I don't want to, you know, group people in, but especially like the younger generation that has only seen things like Suicide Squad, stuff like that, you know, that they glorify the relationship and their love for each other, like it's a love for the ages, or like true love. And you'll see an Instagram photo of Joker and Harley, and it's like the exact opposite. It's just
right.
But that shows the dangers and the symptoms of an abusive relationship and how hard it is for someone that's in it to recognize that they're in it and to get themselves out of it. So it's one of those super deeply layered stories that this character is intertwined with, created by Paul Dini for this show. That's just, it shows how good of a writer he really is and how smart DC was using this character.
Yeah, definitely. And it's actually great to see now, if for the most part, when you see her, at least in the comics, like she's broken away from the Joker and she's kind of doing her own thing.
Right.
And that's really good to see, because she's such a great character. And you see that strength almost in that she was able to break away from that really, like you said, abusive relationship that she'd been stuck in for so long.
You know, Harley can kind of be seen as a symbol of feminism when it's the Harley you're seeing that breaks away from the Joker, you know, because it's, and like, don't get me wrong. Like when I say feminism, feminism is not about girls first, guys last, you know, it's not about that. It's about equality. So it's about like, you know, her realizing that she should not be treated the way she's treated, and her sticking up against the Joker, which she did in several of the episodes that we watched. I mean, this last episode, you know, didn't work out that way for her, but that first one, she originally turned against him once she realized how horrible he was.
Yeah.
And of course, she always goes back to him in the end, because that is the foil. That is her foil as a character, at least in the animated series. But yeah, I mean, she can be a symbol of strength very easily, which is, I think, another reason why she's such a popular character right now.
So thank you again, Thomas and Harley Sally Girl Alice, for suggesting these episodes to us.
You said that way more eloquently than I can.
I had to pause for a second, but I got it.
You got it.
At least Thomas is an easy name.
Oh, I can't say it. Thomas?
Thomas?
Thomas.
Thomas. Sorry, Thomas.
Sorry, not sorry.
Well, listeners, it looks like our milk supply is now run dry, so it's time for us to say goodbye. And next week, we'll be watching
Captain Planet, suggested via Twitter by Christopher Valencia at Ludacris03.
Oh, that's awesome, man. I haven't seen Captain Planet in so long.
He's our hero.
He's going to take pollution down to zero. I don't know if he has, though. I'm pretty sure pollution is way above zero at this point.
Probably. I mean, we don't have an EPA anymore. So, I mean.
It's probably, if I were to guess, I would say it's about 90% pollution.
Do you think that Captain Planet is actually Al Gore? Do you think that that's possible?
Do I think that?
I've never seen them in the same place at once.
So do I think that Al Gore is the combination of a lot of children's rings put together as one?
Yes.
Yes, absolutely.
Okay. That's what I thought, too.
It's the only explanation.
Yeah, exactly.
So once again, I'm Joseph.
And I'm Chris.
And we'll see you next Saturday.
presented by NerdSloth,
a place for lazy nerds.
If you like what you heard, consider donating at patreon.com/nerdsloth so we can continue bringing you quality shows. Be sure to also leave us a review and share your favorite episodes and clips on social media. If you're looking for more content, visit us at nerdsloth.com.